What if you were a Jehovah's Witness that was merely pretending to be into Christmas, gathering clues and blending in to take down the holidays from within?
You mean like a spy investigating? Making it seem like I'm celebrating when actually I'm infiltrating Santa's operation?
Yoip! Going deep cover past enemy lines, making everybody think I'm on the Christmas side. Rocking warm sweaters, hanging big ass lights. If the fat man can see me, yo, it's gotta look right. I watch all the TV specials that I never could. I'll even cry during the sad ones like James Bond would. And when the big night comes, it's time to set the bait. Cold milk, hot cookies, decorative plates. And he'll come down the chimney and it will be just him and me. But he won't know we're enemies, cause I'll play sincere. Bring a trap like that, hug him tight, get on his lap, and tell him he can come back every year. Cause I am Jehovah's most secret witness, so I might have to dedicate my life to Christmas and act just like I love it till the day I die.
Got a sore of Christmas on the spectrum, none of your business. Thoughts too fast to comprehend, just want to do right by my friends. If years were seasons, this December would be the December of our December. More blueprints than Howard Hughes, but if there are blueprints, how do we choose? We have to be happy to get to the end. We have to save Christmas to save our friends. We have to save Christmas to save our friends. We have to save Christmas to save our friends.
Hey guys. Rapping?
We be the infamous, you heard of us. Official
review.
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 Official.
Review.
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 Official.
Review.
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 Official.
Review.
What's up, internet? It is the Upon Official Review podcast, and we are back in action. It is week, coming up on week 16?
15.
Week 15. Gotcha.
No, 16. What That's am, what I, thought. Yeah, am man. I talking about?
Week Game 16. 15. Game exactly. 15. Game 15. Week 16. Upon Official Review podcast is firing on all cylinders. We're back.
Yep. Full
it's
force.
Been a, it's been a month or so. Way too long, but you know how it goes. Life gets busy. We know you missed us, but we missed you too.
Yep. And we're lazy, so you know.
That is not true. We are not lazy.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Not that it can be proved.
That's been following us since college, man. We got to get rid of this stigma. That's why coaches won't put us in the game.
Bastards.
Exactly. So anyway, how you been?
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Good to hear. Good to hear. Yep. You are actually finishing a college degree, and I'm running a business. Those are the reasons why the podcast isn't always on time.
Yeah, absolutely.
So. It happens. It happens. But lots to talk about, man. We got a good show coming up for you guys. Oh, by the way, if this is first time listening, my name is Ari, also known as Magnum, and next to me virtually is my boy Al, also known as Murdoch.
What's up, everybody?
So, yeah, like I was saying, great show. Lots of birds to talk about, lots of NFL to talk about. And with a little sprinkle, a little spice, we'll sprinkle in some other sports in there too. Because we know you guys, you know, want to talk about that stuff too. But definitely NFL is the king. It's at the top right now, and we're getting close to, I mean, essentially the last couple
it's
weeks.
It's crunch time.
It is, exactly. Essentially these are playoff games in the sense that if you don't win them, you may, you know, your
right.
season
well,
could be over.
Specifically for the Eagles, week 17 will be their playoff game.
Exactly, exactly.
Potentially, we might be able to clinch early, but
it's possible.
We won't be knocked out of playoff contention of playoff contention with a loss at against the Bears. So that's one nice thing that that Dallas gave us by failing spectacularly against the Packers last week.
I was just about to say that, man. Wow.
Beautiful.
That was epic.
Poetry in motion. That's all I can say.
How does that happen?
It was wonderful. It was wonderful.
I mean, only Tony Romo would check out of a running play.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, it's just such a spectacular Dallas. Only Dallas. Actually, no. Only Dallas or Detroit could have lost a game like that. I mean, it's just but yeah, I wouldn't even say Detroit. If Detroit had a 26-3 lead, they would have won. So only Dallas could have lost that game.
Yep.
And lose they did. And it bailed the Eagles out because they could have been – had Dallas won that game, the Eagles potentially could have been eliminated by the time Sunday night is over.
Is that right?
Yeah. Had Dallas won last week and this week, and then we lose to the Bears, we were out.
That's true. You're right.
It was over because we would have been a game back and with one to play, but they would have had the tiebreaker even had we beat them via the division record since next week, you know, this takes into effect them beating Washington next week. Right. They've only lost once. No, they haven't lost at all in the division. They're 4-0 so far. So.
Wow, they haven't lost at all?
Not at all.
Huh. Well, yep. We need the Redskins to do their thing.
But as it is, we don't have to worry about that. So, you know, the Eagles, state of the Eagles right now, you know, they had a 5-game winning streak. Foles was, you know, playing out of his mind. You know, 19 touchdowns for his first interception, which most people, I think, gave him a pass for that because it was in that blizzard game against Detroit.
It took an act of God.
Yeah, it really did. and then, okay, so we fell flat on our face after that. You know, two big wins, Arizona at home, Detroit at home, two very good teams. Arizona's 9-5 right now.
Yeah, Arizona's very
Detroit,
good.
Detroit, you know, was, you know, ahead 14-0, which might as well have been 40-0, the way our offense was looking at the time. And the emotion of that comeback, I think the players kind of stayed basked in the glow for a little too long after that. It was the prototypical trap game, and it trapped us. So.
They tried to avoid that, though. I remember because they practiced on Tuesday.
They practice on Tuesday. Well, they do that all year, but that's what it's for, to help them get over the loss right away. Why do you think we lost to Minnesota? What would you say, if you had to say the number one reason, what would you give as
I just think they may have game planned to play against Adrian Peterson in this run first offense, and it turned out they just threw all day on us, and then that opened up the run for them. But I just feel like they were preparing for a different game, because it definitely didn't seem like they were ready for that game whatsoever. I've never seen a secondary play so soft in my life. I mean, granted, the Vikings actually did have a number of 20-plus yards plays. Mm-hmm. Like, they're actually, third in the league in, 20-plus yards plays. But their receivers aren't that great. Greg Jennings is number one. They got the rookie who's solid, but...
Patterson, right.
Yeah, Cordero.
Cordero.
Sounds like...
I agree with you somewhat.
Hey, what do you think?
In that... I think they weren't ready, absolutely. But to me, and who knows if this is true, but the feeling I got was, especially on the defensive side, because, you know, the offense, especially on the defensive side, I thought they were reading their press clippings a little too much.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, 9 straight games, 21 or less points allowed, which no other team in football could boast of. And boy, they were playing solid. And had they played solid against Minnesota, you know, we win the game, obviously. I mean, if you look at Matt Asiatico, or whatever the heck the guy's name was,
yeah,
the third string running back who hadn't had a snap, he had 30 carries for 50 yards. You can say 3 touchdowns all you want, but those are 1-yard touchdowns. Anybody's getting them.
Right.
30 carries for 50 yards is nothing. And to waste that many plays for 1.67 yards a play is, you know, you should be able to have them right where you want them. I didn't get it. Because here's what I'm thinking. They have no running threat, and not only are they getting no pressure, but they're not covering anybody. How do you do neither? Like, you know, at least if you're not going to cover anyone, blitz and get pressure. But they were doing neither. They had, you know, Castle had all day to sit back there. And you know, here's the thing about the NFL. I don't know, but it was in the second half, I think they finally did. But at that point, it was too little too late. Because in the NFL, if you give any starting quarterback, any backup quarterback that's a veteran that started before, time to make throws and not cover his receivers, he's going to get into a rhythm.
Yeah.
And he's going to pick you apart. You give him time back there.
Yep.
Every quarterback in the league can beat you if he's not getting pressured. Every single one. And the reason some guys like Castle don't end up starters is because they can't perform if they're getting hit.
Right.
But, you know, if you give them 5 seconds of play, they're going to get into a rhythm and they're going to shoot your eyes out. And that's exactly what happened. It's that time of year. So by the time we started getting pressure, it was too little too late. He was already in a great rhythm. and just really laid an egg. I mean, you know, you score 30 points against that team without Adrian Peterson, without their backup running back, without a, I mean, you got to win that every time at home. Come on. Or no, it was on the road. Sorry. It was on the road, but still.
Yeah, they had three sacks. They were, yeah.
You know, because now you're, because had the Eagles won that game, we would be in a position where we need one more win to win the division, regardless of where it comes.
Yep.
No matter what Dallas does against Washington, we beat the Bears, we win the NFC East.
Yep.
And I'd rather have two chances to do it than one.
I agree.
You know, potentially now if Dallas loses, but then even so, you know, you can say, well, if Dallas loses, then we beat the Bears, we still get it. But yeah, but if we won last week and then Dallas lost, we don't even have to play the Bears. You know what I mean? Like, yep. It's over before that game. So yep. It was a big, big loss, but here's what I will say. I think, considering, if you had given me the choices of the Eagles lose and Dallas loses, or they both win, you know, while there was a chance that the Eagles could have somehow snuck into a two seed, that's very unlikely. And even had the Eagles won, it'd still be very, very unlikely.
Mm-hmm.
But I think humble pie is what they needed. They're not a great team. They're certainly not a great defense, and they need to remember that, and they need to start kicking some butt right now.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I totally agree with that. I think that it was important that they get a wake-up call.
Yeah, and I think that's what they needed, and I think they're going to play well against Chicago. Not necessarily win, but, you know, Chicago is such a porous run defense. Shady, I mean, he could get 300 yards, I think. I mean, it's going to get ugly. Because I remember the Monday night game they played against Dallas, like, what, a week and a half ago, where Dallas or Chicago killed him, like, 48 to whatever it was.
Yeah, and they had 200 yards rushing.
They were getting 8 yards of carry against them. And Dallas running back, DeMarco Murray, is no Shady McCoy, I'll tell you that.
No.
So. Chicago, and neither can Dallas. So both the last two games, they have no run defense. Dallas just has no defense.
Lance Briggs back this week, but is Lance Briggs still the player he used to be?
He's not, and they lose Charles Tillman.
Oh, really?
And that is not a good swap for them.
No, that is not.
So I will take that all day. Yeah, he's out.
Yeah, he's their biggest
doubtful.
I'm
pretty sure he's out, though, I think, Charles Tillman. I saw that. Maybe I saw doubtful, but either way, I'd much rather not have to play against him, so.
Yeah, it's big for them.
Yeah. If Carolina beats New Orleans, followed by Carolina losing in week 17, and had the Eagles won out, we would have been the two seed. But I think if Carolina beats New Orleans, I don't think they'll lose in week 17 with a two seed on the line. So,
do we get Earl
Wolf? We can't get the two seed now. What?
Do we get our safety back, Earl Wolf? Does he come back this week?
I believe so, but I think who got the concussion? I think last week, Boykin is going to be out though.
Is
so
he
I
out?
Think that's not a good trade.
Yeah, no, I don't like that.
Well, I think he's going to be out because he got the concussion. So usually it takes them a week where they miss a game.
Does he mostly play nickel though, or does he play all?
Yeah, he plays nickel. But he's the best cornerback we have.
He's
the other guys aren't nickel guys for whatever reason. They just don't play well in the nickel, so it just sort of happened. I think he's a rising star, and he, you know, I don't know, you know.
Yeah, he's a solid starter.
I don't know what makes a great slot versus a great outside corner, but I've heard talk about him maybe moving outside eventually once they get another guy that can play the slot. I think that was a real good pick. So
I totally agree with that. But yeah, it'd be nice to have a safety that can tackle and not get beat deep all the time. Ugh.
Oh, yeah, that'll be a big, big help.
Watching Patrick Chung is so frustrating.
Yeah. It's funny, actually. Nate Allen ended up being the best safety we have.
Yeah.
He started. You know what? You know, it's one of those things maybe where that injury just slowed him down for so long. You just forget. Sometimes it takes him 2 years to get back from those things.
That's absolutely true.
And I'll tell you the Brandon Graham, I think, has a similar thing where he was finally healthy last year, but that jackass,
the wide nine
coach,
yeah,
wouldn't play him because of, you know,
Jason Babin.
And so, you know, he actually and the thing that sucked is had he gotten to play all last year, he'd be valuable to trade to a team that needs a, you know, that runs a 4-3.
Right.
But as it is, We're going to end up having to let him go for nothing, and he's going to be good for another team. That's what's going to happen.
He's going
to
do the Chris Clemens
on actually this. Good. And it just – the injury slowed him down for a couple years. And then, you know, I think last year he was blocked and he played the full season. People – you know, he would have had 12 sacks, something like that. People would have seen
– Yeah, double digits, definitely.
That good, you know what I mean? And it's just unfortunate. It's just – it's bad luck, basically.
Yep.
But that's what happens when you switch from a 4-3 to a 3-4. You're going to have players that don't fit, and you're not necessarily going to get full value for them.
That's definitely true.
I'd much rather – I'm glad they're running the 3-4, and eventually, you know, they're going to get the players they need. And I think it's a better defense. It's better based on today's offense with the pass-happy, you know.
I agree. 4-3
was the older defense that was more geared up to stop the run.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, you can win with both, but – let me ask you a question. What do you think the Eagles need to become the early 2000s Eagles, competing for a championship for 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years in a row every year?
Really, I just think they need some consistency on defense.
Do you think Nick Foles is good enough to be a guy that can – lead a contender for multiple years?
I think so. I mean, the sample size is still relatively small.
Not even 16 full.
Exactly, exactly. It's, yeah, not even a full season. Not even 3/4 of the season, right?
No, I think he's started like 13 games or something.
Okay,
like
so, but I think he can be the guy, absolutely. I think he's shown poise. His footwork has definitely improved from last year. If you remember watching him last year, he looked really bad in the pocket. Now, and last week even, he was able to pull the ball down and pick up some key first downs.
Absolutely.
And I think that's smart. You know, knowing when to throw it away. He still holds on to it too long and doesn't throw it away, but he does move a little bit when he has to.
From his mistakes?
Yes.
Here's what, you know, I would say about Nick Foles. He's just as good a passer as McNabb was when we were going to the NFC Championship game 4 years in a row.
I would agree with that.
Absolutely, just as good.
You look at McNabb. Quite have a zip on the ball. I wouldn't say he can make every single pass, but he can. He could squeeze it in a little bit. So, basically, I think Foles has the mental tools, which are the most important part, in my opinion.
Agree.
It's nice to have a quarterback that can make every single throw. I don't know if he's got quite the same sort of
Laser rocket arm
exactly.
that Peyton Manning has.
You know, or like McNabb had, or like Rodgers has, some of these other guys. But I think the most important part is that your quarterback is making the correct reads.
Yep. Absolutely.
You know, and seeing, you know, where the blitz is coming from. And just making the right call, you know, making the right audibles, you know, and making good decisions overall, not taking bad sacks, you know, not throwing interceptions. McNabb was good at that. McNabb did not,
absolutely.
You know, he threw a lot of passes in the dirt, but he definitely didn't throw a lot of picks.
Yep.
You know, did you see recently there was a stat that there's been like 4 or 5 seasons ever where quarterbacks thrown 25 picks and Eli Manning has 2 of them?
Yep.
It's pretty bad. Those will lose you games all the time, man. Just turnover.
Yeah.
So Nick Foles does not do that, which is great.
Yeah, I agree. And again, comparing to McNabb, unfair comparison because he's young. But, you know, I think both
of
them.
Yeah, just in the sense of like
McNabb was the dirt, the worm balls.
Yep.
Where Foles is not quite that strong as an arm as you'd like. But, you know, he wouldn't have been there in the third round if he had a stronger arm. He would have been a, you know, top 40, top 30 pick, you know. But I think, yeah, I think he's good enough based on what I've seen. You know, I read something interesting the other day from a quote from Howie Roseman on Philly.com where it said, you know, in order to be a Super Bowl contender for multiple years, you need to have, you know, 4 good drafts in a row. And I thought that was really interesting because I never really thought about that. How many good drafts in a row do you need? You know what I mean? But we've had 2 good drafts in a row now. And you know, so I even say, give us 1 more good draft in a row and we're going to be, you know, we're going to be there. You give us 2 more in a row, we're going to be winning Super Bowls, you know? So I thought that was kind of interesting. I just think, you know, I never even thought about that. And I, you know, for all we know, the last 2 drafts are the only ones he had full control over. And they were both very, very good drafts, best in years for the Eagles. And, if you look at, you know, they stopped drafting for need and they stopped reaching. And you know, if we can get one or two more good drafts in a row.
I'll tell you this.
Pretty.
I remember specifically watching those Giants drafts before they won those two Super Bowls. And they always picked players that I wish the Eagles had. You know, absolutely. I would be like, man, they picked that guy. I wanted us to get. And then they won. They remember first, how many starters they had that were like rookies and second year players on the Super Bowl teams? And you're like, wow.
And that's the same thing you have looking at right now for us. Look how much better we are from these last two drafts than we were before that. Mm-hmm. And if you extrapolate that into another draft, another second, you know, a fourth draft, you know, future is bright, especially if we can nail a couple more drafts. And I think, I think Foles, you know, he's never going to be the best quarterback in the league, but you know, there's only gonna be one of those, you know what I mean? So, but can you win a Super Bowl? Absolutely.
I think so.
With the right team, the right coach, you know, so, let's just, I just thought that was interesting with the drafts and it filled me with hope, honestly, because, you know, Roseman right now is looking pretty good. And if he is that good, then our future is going to keep getting better and better. And Kelly is going to learn from his mistakes. He's the right guy.
Yep.
I think our future is bright. A couple more quick points before we take a break.
Real quick too, before even to just compare us a little bit more back to those Eagles teams to see where, you know, what can we do to be like those guys. They always had a really good secondary.
Yes.
The secondary's got to get better. Remember the Troy Vincents, the Bobby Taylors, the Lito Shepherds, the Sheldon Browns, and Brian Dawkins was always there.
Plus Brian Dawkins.
Yep.
Yeah, and then, were very good.
They had solid upfront pressure too, which the Eagles are building on. They're getting better at that.
Yeah, I like the line. I like three of their four linebacking positions. I like their outside. I like Connor Barwin. I like both inside guys. I like Kendricks. I like dude from Houston. And you know, obviously you need that stud 3-4 pass rushing linebacker.
Yep.
You know, you get that. You get a lot of help in the back end. And your defense is pretty good.
Yep. So continue what you're going to say.
Yeah. So a couple things more about the Eagles before we take our break is, first of all, what do you think was the biggest like as far as do you think Chip Kelly had his worst game coaching the Eagles
last week?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
I agree. I think the kickoff strategy killed us.
Yep.
I think, you know, if you don't have a kicker that can get touchbacks in a dome, then you need to cut him.
Yeah.
Because there's 50 kickers that can get, you know, I don't care if he breaks one touchdown. I guarantee you, if you get touchbacks on 7 of 9 kickoffs last week and he breaks one for a touchdown, they score fewer than 48 points. Giving them the ball to 50 every time. I remember Reed did that a couple times. And he finally realized it's a terrible idea. You can't win in the NFL if you're doing those. You cannot give the ball at the 40-yard line. The average drive position was 39-yard line.
Yikes.
You cannot do that. You will lose. That is, you know, two first downs in their field goal range in a dome. You know? You can't give points away like that. But you know what? He has learned from his mistakes so far, and I trust that he will see what he did. And, you know, again, I think that's another thing they could draft. I wouldn't mind them at all spending another fifth rounder on a kicker. And getting a guy with a really strong leg.
Because right now, was a fourth.
Young kickers. Yeah, that's true. But whatever. A fifth round, usually you can get the number one kicker, maybe the number two. There are these young kids that have these really strong legs. Let's get one of these guys that can hit 60-yard field goals. You know? So I thought that
was a zero-round pick. He wasn't drafted at all.
Exactly. You don't even necessarily have to.
Yeah, he's got a scout well.
Yeah, but get a guy with a strong leg.
Yeah.
You know, it's such a weapon.
It really is. I mean, Janikowski's been in the league how long?
Yeah, he was a first-round pick. Crazy as that was.
Right, very end of the first round. That's right. The Raiders got him, right? Yeah, well, he's still there.
Still there.
Yeah, it's crazy. That's crazy.
But, yeah, we need to get rid of this kicker if he can't get touchbacks in a dome.
That's a joke. You're right.
But obviously that was the wrong call by Kelly. But, you know.
Yep, he'll learn. He'll learn.
So, that's what's your thoughts?
I was about to ask you that, sir.
Quick prediction for that.
I do worry about their wideouts because Alshon Jeffrey has come on like a freaking monster lately. Like, he's making one, like, amazing catch per week.
Oh,
at least. Nice. Yeah. Between those two guys, we just reached out and snatched it. And then one before that, where he was, like, that one corner of the end zone, like a tiny little window.
Right at the end of the half. Like,
yeah.
2 seconds. Yeah.
Yeah, he's good. So I'm worried about him a little bit. And when Marshall obviously gets better when Cutler's playing.
Yes.
That's, like, his security blanket.
Yes.
That's where I was thinking, for whatever reason, I couldn't remember where Cutler was before. He was in Denver, and they played together there. So I'm a little bit worried about them, but we talked about this a little bit before we started the podcast. I think we can – yeah, they can't stop the run.
Yeah.
And that's going to let us control the clock a little bit.
Yep. You know, Kelly, if the odds are telling him they stop the pass, can't stop the run, he'll run it because he wants to run it anyway.
Right.
The reason we didn't run it against the Vikings because they had the opposite defense.
Yep, they were putting a man, the extra guy in the box too.
Yeah. So, yeah, I absolutely think, and again, I think we can beat them. Here's one thing I'll say is Cutler right now is not as good as McCown.
No. Yeah.
McCown played better than Cutler ever has in his career. So I think I'd feel a lot worse if McCown was playing.
Really?
Yeah, Cutler throws two or three. He throws it around. He's one of those guys. He's a Tony Romo, Brett Favre. Absolutely, he'll throw them. I think the Eagles will win if they don't get any turnovers. Maybe not, but you know, and it's in it, and it does matter. This game does matter, which I will allude to segment. But I agree.
Win. What do you got for final score?
I'm gonna say 31-24.
I was gonna say 34-27.
Brilliant minds, sir.
Yeah, man. And you're going to be at the game.
I will be at the game, absolutely. Some friends of mine are coming in from Chicago, so we'll be at the game, hopefully.
Are they going to wear Chicago jerseys?
Well, hopefully they won't get jumped.
are you going to say that you're with them, or how are you going to...
Yeah, they're my friends, you know. Absolutely.
All right, well, I hope you don't catch a spare... a beer thrown at you, bro.
Guys, if there were guys, I would disavow all...
Right, right, exactly. I'm not with them.
Yeah. These ugly
I don't know what these people are. All right, sir, let's take a break. And, yeah, man, best of luck. Everybody send their luck down with Al to the game. And I'll probably meet you down there maybe to tailgate a little bit. But, yeah, that should be a great game. Get a lot on the line.
Seven degrees, too, that thing. Woohoo!
Yeah, man, we got a super awesome warm day. Hopefully it doesn't rain too much.
Yeah, exactly. Scattered.
Awesome, awesome. All right, so let's take a break. We'll come back. We will scour the NFL and talk playoff scenarios and do all that fun stuff. So you guys, stick around. This is the Upon Official Review Podcast.
Swear in Philly Sports.
That's right. We are the last word. Don't touch that dial.
Twas the night before Christmas and all through the
Hold
house.
It now, wait. Hold it. That's played out. Hit it.
You give me all that jive about things you wrote before I was alive. Cause this ain't 1823, ain't even 1970. Now I'm the guy named Curtis Blow, and Christmas is one thing I know. So every year, just about this time, I celebrate it with a rhyme. Gonna shake it, gonna bake it, gonna make it good. Gonna rock, shock, knock it through your neighborhood. Gonna ring, gonna sing it till it's understood. My rapping about to happen like a knee. You were slapping, or I told you been tapping on a hunk of
Welcome
wood.
Back, Internet. Official Review-ites. Official Review-ees.
Need to fans, come up with a name. Followers.
Fans. We need to come up with a specific name for them.
Ooh, you know what? That could be something we put them to work on.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Put it up on Twitter and see what they say.
That's a good call. Anyways, it is time for my favorite segment, your favorite segment, your mom's favorite segment.
Mom.
That's right. It's time for the best rant of the week that you'll hear. Even better
the
than
best rant in the history of the world.
Exactly, exactly. Forget about the ones that come after teams lose and coaches go nuts. This is the one you have to hear. It is time for what's making Murdoch mad. Murdoch, give it to him.
Who are you trying to get crazy with, S.A.? Don't you know I'm loco?
But they are who we thought they were.
and we let him off the hook.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
This week, idiots are making me mad. Stupid people. I really do not suffer fools well. And these idiots that say if Dallas wins against the Redskins on Sunday that the Eagles should rest their starters against the Bears are one of the most absurd things I've ever heard. First of all, selfishly, I'm going to be at that game, so they better not rest their starters. Now, Chip Kelly's already come out and said that's not happening, and it shouldn't happen. And let me tell you why. Because if they lose the game, they're a game behind Chicago. Chicago would have the tiebreaker. They're in line for the 3 seed. We'd be stuck with a 4 seed. A lot of times that doesn't matter because, you know, it depends on who the 5th and 6th teams. This year, it matters more than it might have ever mattered in the history of the NFL playoffs. Here's what you get as the 3 seed. You get either New Orleans or Carolina coming to your building in the first round rather than San Francisco's second-best team in the conference. That's a win. You'd much rather have New Orleans or Carolina. It's probably going to be New Orleans because they're going on the road to Carolina. They suck on the road. I'd play New Orleans in Philly in the cold weather, outside, in January, on the road. They're not nearly as good as they are at home. They just got blown out by St. Louis in St. Louis, and that was in a dome.
Yep.
You know, outdoors in Philly in January, forget it. Now, the second round matchup, if you're the 3 seed after dispatching New Orleans, possibly Carolina, would probably New Orleans, would be then going to Carolina, who's never played in the playoffs. The coach has never coached a playoff game. Another advantageous position. If you're the 4 seed, you got to beat San Francisco and then go to Seattle. Now, would you rather play? I mean, both of those are huge differences. The difference between New Orleans and Philly or San Francisco and Philly is huge.
A massive
huge
difference.
San Francisco is peaking at the right. They just beat Seattle, who's 12-2.
Yep.
They're really good. They're a plus 121 on the year, which is third or fourth best in football. Behind Denver, Kansas City, and Seattle. And then going to Carolina versus going to Seattle? I mean, it's not even in the same ballpark, the difference between the 3 and the 4.
No way. 12th man, you don't.
You know, when I heard people starting to raise that up, I thought, I hope Kelly doesn't do that. Listen to these idiots, because that would be the single dumbest thing you could possibly do. The whole point of the regular season is to put yourself to make the playoffs and put yourself in an advantageous position.
A bass position.
Sitting
yep.
your starters against Chicago would make sure you're in a worse position. This is incredibly stupid. The difference between the 3 and the 4 seed is huge. It's about as big a difference between the 2 and the 3. Not quite, because the bye is very helpful, obviously, but just giant difference. And it would be incredibly stupid if they rested the starters in week 16. So thank goodness they're not doing that. But that's what's making me mad. All these people talking, they think they're so smart. You're not smart. You're stupid. It's a terrible idea. Thank goodness Chip Kelly, who also is smart, knows that it's a terrible idea and he's not going to do it or even entertain it for a second.
Yeah, that's
so
a terrible idea.
That's what's making me mad this week.
Yeah, I don't. Do people not understand that even if you're in the playoffs, it does make a difference who you play?
Yeah, I mean, they say, well, you could be the 3 instead of the 4. I've even heard people say that, but they don't even look at who you'd play if you're the 3 or the 4.
Yeah.
Think about it, you know. Don't just look at it on the surface. Figure out who's going to be the 5 seed and the 6 seed. San Francisco's the 5 seed. You know, probably New Orleans is the 6 seed. And then, you know, that getting to not play, getting to avoid Seattle in round 2, that's huge, obviously.
Yeah.
The whole thing is retarded. It's so stupid. I can't even, it was a ridiculous thing. And a bunch of people are saying it. And it's just.
Yeah, I've heard it too.
No sense at all was made in that. It was completely absurd. So.
Sure. So that being said, let's talk some other playoff scenarios. And let's start over in the AFC.
Okay.
Who looks like, you know, they're going to be seeds, you know, 1 through 6 now, and or who else you think may leapfrog somebody right now?
Well, you know, it was kind of a crazy weekend last weekend where, you know, everybody kind of lost and opened the door for other teams who then also lost, and so.
It was,
you know,
indeed.
The most drama right now is for the 6th seed, which the Ravens can, you know, if they win out, they're the 6th seed, but they have to play New England at home on Sunday and then at Cincinnati the next Sunday. And the funny thing is, I said if they win out, they're the 6th seed. That's not actually true because Cincinnati lost. If they win out, they win the division. So they'd actually be the 3 or the 4 seed. I think they'd be the 4 seed probably. So if they win out, they have to beat Cincinnati because right now they're a game behind Cincinnati, but beating them head to head would give them the tiebreaker, and they'd actually win their division.
Where's that game at?
That is at Cincy.
Okay, yeah, both of those teams are really good at home. Cincinnati's undefeated at home, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they're one of the only teams that are. Yeah. You know, there's only two teams in the AFC, them and New England. And then in the NFC, it's just Seattle and New Orleans. So,
that'll be
yeah.
something.
Yeah, I mean, but the Ravens right now look like they can just do anything.
They
you
sure
know?
Do.
Pulling these crazy that game against Minnesota, the game Monday night against Detroit with a 61-yard field goal. So you wouldn't count against them, but those are two tough games.
And now, there's something to be said, not to cut you off, but there's something to be said about just the mental toughness of teams.
Yes, yep, and they're champions.
Yeah, exactly. Teams that, you know, they look like they're done, and then they come back to win. That the game, was it last week? I guess, no, not last week, 2 weeks ago when they played the Vikings.
Right, there was the five touchdowns in the last 2 minutes and 9 seconds.
That was nutty.
That was the most insane 2 minutes and 9 seconds I've ever seen.
It really was. That was so crazy. And the fact that they had the, you know, the wherewithal to make
those finish it off.
Exactly, to come back and win that game. That was really impressive. And they got Dennis Pitta back.
That makes a big difference.
It makes a huge difference.
Absolutely.
Flacco loves throwing absolutely. Him, especially on
now, you know, another thing is New England, who's 10-4, they can miss the playoffs. You know, if Baltimore wins out, that means they'll beat New England. If New England then loses to Buffalo, they could totally miss the playoffs. Miami, if they win the next two and New England loses the next two, Miami wins that division. That'd and there'd be, you know, potentially a bunch of people at 10-6. But right now, you have to look at Miami as the favorite for the sixth seed just because of how hard the Ravens' schedule is. Miami plays at Buffalo and home versus the Jets. So they should be 10-6. And unless the Ravens, again, I don't know. If the Ravens win the next two, it'd be Miami 10-6 and Cincinnati would either be 10-6 or 9-7. So there's so many different things that can happen over there. But right now, to me, assuming Baltimore splits, hopefully they'll beat New England. I hate New England. I think Miami's looking pretty good. I think it's going to be New England, Miami, Cincinnati, Indy, Denver, and Kansas City. That's my guess of who it is. But a lot of still things can happen there. You know, Denver has to win out to stay the number one seed, but if they lose any games, they're the five seed. Because if Kansas City wins out, Kansas City's final two games are against home for Indy at San Diego. So they have two tough games. You know, Denver has two cake games. They play at Houston, at Oakland. So,
oh, yeah.
No
they
way.
They better win those games.
To get the number one, if they don't win those two games, I mean, they don't deserve to be.
They definitely don't deserve
it. I mean, you'd go all the way potentially down from number one seed to and a bye in the first round to on the road the entire way and have to play the wild card game against Indy or Cincy. So huge difference. I think they'll handle both of those games. I mean, you know, Houston's lost 12 in a row. Can't imagine they do it. Oakland, you know, we've seen what they've done. 7 touchdowns to Nick Foles. They've been awful lately, and they just don't have the personnel. So one more quick word about Denver. A lot of people are, you know, San Diego provided a blueprint on Thursday night. You know what the blueprint was? Thursday night games are random.
Yes.
And San Diego has a lot of talent, and they can win at any given time. But those Thursday games are a joke.
I hate those.
Denver's
Thursday
an older
games.
Team. You know, it was a tough game for them. You know, they were at home. No excuses. But, you know, you can't get trends from Thursday games. They're not real football games. It's ridiculous. These four,
I
you know,
absolutely
96 hours after your last game. Don't draw any conclusions from that.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
I absolutely feel the same way. Like, you can really never accurately predict the outcomes of those games.
So Denver losing that probably just means Peyton Manning's definitely going to break all these records because they'll have to play him all the way. And actually, I think that's an advantage to them because how many times did Indy clinch early and then lose their momentum and lose in the first round? A million times. The fact that they have to play a bye is all you want. You don't want more than 1 week off. You don't want 1 week off plus your starters resting. It's not as good. You know, it's better to have. I mean, if you clinch everything ahead of time, you have to rest your starters. It's not worth the injury risk. But the perfect scenario is playing all the way through week 17 and not getting injured. You have to just hope. And so they're actually in a good shape where they have to win out. And I think that'll keep them sharp, and I think they'll be ready to go. So I'm looking for again, Denver, Kansas, Indy, Cincy, New England, and I would say I would give the 6 seed to Miami right now. So that's what I'm.
I wouldn't be shocked if New England doesn't make it, or at least if they go out early. They without Gronk, they're a different team.
Yeah, it's such a huge loss. If they hadn't gotten so many lucky wins, they'd already be on the outside.
That's
looking.
That's true. Oh, that Browns game with that phony call, the pass interference. Oh, that made me so mad.
Yeah, so many games. The game against the Saints, that was another one. Remember that where they threw the interception with like a minute 40 left and somehow.
Yeah. I tell you what, I'll give two quick notes on AFC from my perspective. I got to give Miami's coach some serious props. Joe Philbin, I feel like...
Yeah, keeping the locker room together.
Yeah, keeping everybody together. And not just that, I feel like that team is just playing at the peak of
their talent allows.
Tannehill
is looking like the real deal.
Yeah, Tannehill is solid, but he still doesn't have like a lot of weapons. I mean, he's got... Oh. You know, above average Mike Wallace and a couple of possession receivers.
Exactly.
And
that's about all you can say about him. But yeah, not, exactly. Not even above average for a number one, just above average for a wide receiver.
Tell you what, Pittsburgh looks smart now because everybody was saying, oh, you know, why would you let Mike Wallace go when he was asking for that money? And, you know, they had Antonio Brown, and Antonio Brown is way better than he is.
Yeah, and Pittsburgh always seems to let the right people go. Have they ever let a guy go that they ended up regretting it?
And they've been like great somewhere else. Now.
Batting 1,000 on that seems like so. Exactly. I like they can do some damage. Absolutely.
The other thing you is, know? I feel bad for Indy losing Reggie Wayne because they're a different team without him.
Yeah, it's a shame. It's a shame. You know, they're fun to watch. I really enjoy watching Andrew Luck.
So do I. So do I. But without Reggie Wayne, it's so. They'll
have 20 years though in the future. Oh, yeah. To win Super Bowls and wow us with his. You know what they are? Is they're a bad team with superb quarterback play. Is the only reason why they're 9-5 and they were 11-5 last year.
I agree.
His you know, like, and I said this. I'm going to go back to what last year I said it over and over and over again. Mike Shanahan is doing a disservice to Robert Griffin III.
We talked about this
so much. And B, letting him run a college offense rather than just throwing his feet to the fire, having him run a pro-style offense, letting him learn to be the pocket passer. Because eventually, you know, in 4 years, you're going to lose that step anyway. And you don't want to take that pounding. And you know, running that college offense, and you saw what he's done this year without the legs trying to run a pro-style pocket passer, he's not as good at it. And had you started him right away and just taken your lumps – he'd be better at it by now. You know what I mean? It just didn't make any sense just to get a one and done playoff berth last year. What did that benefit you? Just got you, you know, worse draft picks. I know they didn't have the number one pick last year, but I just thought. But if you look at what Luck has done, as you know, they let him go right away, and they weren't expected to make the playoffs. They ended up kind of getting a little lucky last year, I thought. But if you look at them this year, you know, Luck is far ahead of him now. You know, I think Griffin will catch back up, but you know, he definitely was hampered by the injury.
They need a new coach too.
I just think the coaching really set him back because had they just taken their lumps, let him play like a pro quarterback, he'd be much better at it by now. And instead of your growing pains in year two, you'd have hit him in year one. You know what I mean? It just didn't make sense. Plus, he probably would have never blown his knee out, which obviously would have been a huge plus.
Yeah, that was a major.
I digress, but. I just the plan for grooming Luck was better than the plan for grooming Griffin.
I absolutely agree, but that's
it's unfair to Griffin.
Shanahan.
A lot of it is a lot of the criticism's unfair to him. Now, obviously he's not an angel in this situation either, but things like that, which I said at the time, I was saying that week three last year, and you know, turns out I was right.
Sure. Yeah, back to the Colts real quick. I also feel bad that I bet they're feeling. Upset that they traded away a first-round pick for Trent Richardson. I bet they'd like to have that pick back now.
Terrible trade. Richardson sucks.
He's terrible.
He's got the worst running back in football. He's worse than, I'm guessing, 30 teams' backups.
You know what's weird, though, is he's got the physical tools, but when you watch replays of when he runs, he never runs towards daylight.
No, he's just got terrible instincts. I don't know what it is with that guy, but I mean, has he ever had one good run in his 2 years? I don't think he's had one good run. He averages
the run against last year against the Eagles when he knocked dude's helmet off.
Yeah, well, whatever.
Yeah.
He sucks. That was an awful trade.
Yeah, you know, a first rounder.
Grassen, fourth overall, third overall, and then is willing to trade him for like the 20th pick the very next year. That should send warning signals up and down. And sure enough, you know, right now you couldn't get a fifth round pick for him, I bet.
Probably not.
I seriously don't think, maybe a fifth. That'd be the, no way you're getting a fourth for Trent Richardson right now. There's no chance.
Yep.
He, you know, 20 carries for 47 yards every week.
Yeah, usually anytime you see a player traded within the season, something's wrong with that dude.
Yeah, something. There's some warning.
It never happens anymore.
That's a red flag.
Absolutely, yep. Absolutely. All right, let's talk NFC.
Let's see. Yep.
Let's run down the six teams, and or maybe the seventh or eighth that could sneak in, you know, leapfrog somebody and get in there.
Okay. Well, right now, the only team that's clinched in the NFC is Seattle at 12-2.
Right.
And extremely likely, with one more win to get home field throughout, obviously yep. they're going to be number one seed.
Who do they got the last two games?
Last two games, home for Arizona, home for St. Louis. So home and home is the only words you need to hear there.
Yeah,
so
seriously. Yeah.
Although Arizona right now has a lot more to – well, you know what? They don't want to go into the final week not having clinched the number one seed. So I think they'll beat Arizona. Right. Maybe not. But, again, that might benefit them to have to play week 13. And again, you just need the 1 week off. You know, that second week sometimes is a detriment. So, San Francisco at 10-4, I think they're extremely likely to get the 5 seed. They play home against Atlanta. That's a win, and on the road against man Arizona finishes with San Fran and Seattle.
That is not good for them.
On the road against Arizona, which they may or may not have to win to get the 5 seed, as long as they beat New Orleans, depending on tie. They might have to win it. Depends on what happens week 16. But that's a toss-up. On the road against Arizona? I'm picking San Francisco. They're playing really well right now. If they need to win that, they will. Though I don't even think they would necessarily care. No, they would prefer the 5 seed to the 6 seed. But
is there a way that both San Francisco and Arizona can get in? I guess if Carolina loses twice, right?
Or New Orleans loses twice?
Yeah, or if New Orleans
loses
twice.
Yeah, because if Arizona – well, let's think. If San Francisco wins the first game and then loses to Arizona, Arizona wins out. Arizona, they both be 11-5. Yeah, if either Carolina or New Orleans lost out, they'd be 10-6. So, right. Yeah, they could both get in. That could be the two wild cards.
That's funny. Remember a couple of years, I remember doing the podcast talking about how bad the NFC West was.
Oh, yeah. Well, they won with a 7-9. This year, yeah. Their fourth place team could be 8-8 if St. Louis wins out.
Exactly.
New Orleans.
By far the best division in football.
Yeah.
Right?
Finishes.
Oh, AFC by four. West. AFC West has a 4-10 team in there. Yeah.
Oh yeah, and you know San Diego. Yeah. Well. Yeah. Yeah. But they have three really good teams in the NFC West.
Yep.
And if Arizona, you put them in the NFC North, they're winning that division. That's three playoff teams. They're good. They have really deep. They have a better point differential even in that division than anyone in the NFC North or the NFC East.
Wow. Plus you're right.
51. Best point differential other than that's Detroit plus 23.
Yeah. AFC South.
In those two divisions. So, they're clearly one of the top five teams in the conference. And the top five teams are all found in the South and West, I think. The top five, you know, again, depending on how you feel about the Eagles' recent success with Nick Foles, you might throw them in. But at least the NFC South, New Orleans, Carolina, and the NFC West, Seattle, San Fran, and Arizona, they're at least all in the top six in the conference. I think that's safe to say. Again, you put Arizona in a different division, and, you know, they're probably sitting at 11-3 or 10-4. Right now. So right now you've got Seattle's in, San Francisco's in. They're going to be the number one and number five seeds almost for sure. Whoever wins the Carolina-New Orleans game has the inside track to the number two seed. Since it's in Carolina, it's probably going to be them. Their final game is at Atlanta. They're going to win that. But if New Orleans does somehow win on the road, their final game's home versus Tampa. They're definitely winning that. So whoever wins this weekend's the two seed between New Orleans and Carolina. And the loser is going to be the six seed. Unless San Francisco loses out and they win their final game, but that's not very likely at all. So then you've got the NFC North is only going to get one entrance. Detroit at 7-7 right now is in third place, which is absurd because both Chicago and Green Bay have missed their starting quarterback for 5 weeks this year. And somehow Detroit in those 5 weeks went 1-4. Blew every game with at least three turnovers the last five games. Pathetic team that team is. Really, I have no respect for them at all. That coach is terrible. He even said earlier this year, well, you know, if you're going to throw interceptions, if you're not throwing interceptions, you're not being aggressive. So I want us to be aggressive. He actually gave his team an excuse to go out and make turnovers. You wonder why they've had three turnovers in the last five games, at least three turnovers. Their coach doesn't even care about it. They're the most penalized team. They turn it over. It's ridiculous. It's totally coaching. Not only that, but half the roster gets arrested every offseason. You think that's a discipline problem? Who's in charge of discipline? Maybe the head coach. So
you know about the Nate Burleson injury, right?
No.
Oh, dude, this is the greatest injury of all time.
Oh, the reaching for the pizza box?
Yes, reaching for the pizza.
Yeah. That's just, it fits. It's a fit thing.
Yeah, come on, man.
Ridiculous. So Detroit, in order for them to make the playoffs, they have to win out, but Chicago and Green Bay also each would have to lose once. So if Chicago and Green Bay win this weekend, both of them, this Sunday, Detroit's eliminated regardless of what they do. Let's hope that doesn't happen since Chicago's playing the Eagles. But
so if,
yeah,
if
Detroit
Rodgers
needs help.
Comes back, is Green Bay a little scary or no?
Absolutely. Absolutely they're scary. I mean, they were, what, 5-2 with Rodgers?
Yep.
Really beat anyone great. Minnesota, Cleveland, Baltimore, Detroit, Washington. But Rodgers, absolutely. They play home against Pittsburgh at Chicago. That last game's likely for the division, but again, depends on what happens this weekend. But if I had to bet, I'd bet on the Packers, because if Rodgers comes back this weekend, I think they can beat Pittsburgh and then win in Chicago. So it'll be definitely an exciting finish. And then of course you've got finally the Eagles and Dallas. If Dallas loses to Washington, the Eagles beat the Bears. Eagles win the division this week. Otherwise, whoever wins the Week 17 matchup in Dallas is the NFC champ.
I have full confidence that Dallas can choke away that game against
Washington. They've done that like 8 years in a row, right? I mean, come on. They've done it the last 2 years, and I believe three of the last four, because in 2009, we beat them.
Yep.
That was the year we went against Arizona in the NFC championship game, right?
Yep.
Yeah, we beat them the last week, 44-6. So, yeah, three of the last 4 years. So I guess 2010 was the 1 year they didn't
choke the division. Full confidence that Tony Romo can find a way to lose that game.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Death taxes. Dallas loses week 17 to choke the division away.
Yep.
Recent season life.
Yep.
So
Garrett has to be going after that, right? How can he possibly?
Oh, I mean, who knows, man? Because Jerry Jones is insane.
He is.
And he might want to keep him just because he doesn't like the, you know, people think about him that he just fires coaches willy-nilly. And he said he guaranteed his safety like a month ago. So, I mean, it seems like,
crazy.
You know what the thing is? It doesn't matter who you have. Vince Lombardi could be coaching them with the salary cap problems they have, because Jerry Jones is a terrible general manager. Nobody could win with them. No one could.
Yep.
No one could. They have too much replacement level talent all over that roster. They're not good enough. That's the bottom line. Everyone wants to blame Tony Romo. I get it. He blows up spectacularly, but that is far from their biggest problem.
Yep.
Their biggest problem is Jerry Jones. And you know what? I hope he lives forever. You know what else? I hope Dan Snyder lives forever, because it is really nice to have two teams in a division be a train wreck every year. And they always are.
Yep.
You know, once in a while they have a good year just to, you know, give their fans some false hope. But that's about all it is, because those two teams are pathetic, terribly run. And, you know, if you run your team, you know, if you run your team like that, you're going to.
I wonder if someone has, like, replaced the calendar in Jerry Jones's office with, like, one from the 90s, and he just is living in it. Every year, he's just like, oh, it's 1998 again. Awesome.
It's ridiculous.
1996. My team's great. I'm a great manager of talent.
Yep.
No.
I love it. I love that him and Dan Snyder are in our division.
Yep.
That's just. The future for us is so bright because of that's one of the best parts about it.
That's true.
Because they're competently run, and,
exactly.
And you can't overcome that.
Exactly.
And you see it every year.
All right, sir. Let us actually, one more question regarding the NFC. Who scares you more in the South, Carolina or New Orleans?
Depends. As far as for a wild card game
play, or what it will depend
it
on.
It depends on if it's the second round and you're going to their park, New Orleans for sure.
Right.
Because I you don't want to play there. You'd much rather play in Carolina. As far as them playing in Philly?
Yeah.
Man, it's tough. New Orleans is such a bad road team, but Carolina is not experienced in the playoffs. Drew Brees is better than Carolina. I would say either way, I'd rather play Carolina, I guess.
Yeah.
Just because Drew Brees is better than Cam Newton. Mm-hmm. So Cam Newton will get you a couple of those crazy first downs where third and 12. And well, we give up every third and 12 anyway.
give up those anyway.
We haven't stopped one all year long, so I don't expect it to start anytime soon. Mm. Yeah, you know, Drew Brees, I'd rather avoid him if possible. But I could be wrong about that. As far as in Philly, it might be better to play New Orleans. That's kind of a toss-up. But certainly, if you were on the road against either one of those teams, you'd much rather play Carolina in that case. Stats say they're a better team, so plus 120, whereas New Orleans a plus 89. So maybe New Orleans if it's in Philly and Carolina if it's in Carolina. I'll stick with that.
All right. Sounds good. All right, sir. Let us take a break. We'll come back. We'll do the legal procedure. We'll come back. We'll do and after that, we'll do Crossfire, which we haven't done in a while, which is always fun. And then we'll do some shout-outs and sign off, call it a night. All right. Sound good?
All right, buddy.
All right. This is the Upon Official Review podcast.
Last word in Philly sports.
That is us. Don't go anywhere.
J-Fay, what do you want to do tonight?
Same thing we do every night, Pinky. Try to take over the world.
They're Pinky and the Brain. Yes, Pinky and the Brain. One is a genius, the other's insane. Their holiday plan is to overthrow man. They're Pinky and the Brain. Brain, 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 brain. By the dawn of Christmas Day, their plot shall be unfurled. They'll control the earth and bring joy through the world. They're Pinky and the Brain, yes, Pinky and the Brain. They'll have the merry gentlemen singing this refrain. That after Christmas Eve, the world will believe. In Pinky, in Pinky and the Brain, 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 brain. God.
Welcome back, gang. It is the Upon Official Review podcast, doing our thing. You know how we do. What do we do at Murdoch? We take names.
Yes, we do. And take kick names. Butts.
That's right. But first, we take the name.
We take the moms and kick the butts. I mean, kick the names.
Exactly. Exactly.
Something like that.
All right. Well, it is time for another segment that we all enjoy. It is time to find out who's messing up this week. Who's doing things just wrong, just problematic. Who's getting on my nerves? Who is their cause? Who is getting flagged for the illegal procedure? Let's find out.
They called us for illegal procedure.
Illegal procedure can be broken down.
You've got to be kidding me. I can't believe what I just saw.
I've been so wrong.
All right, people. Illegal procedure this week. The flag gets thrown lustily at both.
Lustily. Good lustily. Word, sir.
Exactly. With fervor. With passion. With extreme prejudice. I'm throwing this flag directly at two members of the Dallas Cowboys, namely Mr. Dez Bryant and Mr. Dinosaur Jerry Jones.
Boo.
Yeah, we need to throw some boo effects on this.
Yeah, they deserve that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. First, to Dez Bryant, not just because he's jerk of epic proportions.
Specifically, did you hear that he's changing his name?
Oh yeah?
Yeah, it's gonna be Dez Overgrown Man Child.
Dez Cryant.
Yeah.
So yeah, Dez Bryant pulls a total just sucker move, just a punk move and leaves the game.
I think is the technical term.
What is it?
A bitch move.
Ah, yes, technical. Absolutely. Yeah, it is. You can't just leave your team. You don't do that. It's one thing if you get kicked out of the game, but if you voluntarily just walk off the field before the game is over, it's just gutless.
It's a bitch move.
It is. It absolutely is. It's a punk ass move, and his team should let him know that, and he should. Did he get fined? I don't even know.
No, they won't find
somebody,
him.
His own team should slap
his
him.
His own team should find him. Absolutely. It's absurd. Yeah.
Joke.
And his excuse was even worse. Oh, because I didn't want anyone to see me cry. Like,
oh, yeah. He did say that. Yeah. I'm fine. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
you know, I'm offending. I shouldn't even, you know, shouldn't even call him a girl. That's not a good insult. But you know, you wuss. That's a better one.
Yeah,
how about that?
Absolutely. But yeah, that's something you never do, and they deserve all the bad things that happen to them. Secondarily, Jerry Jones,
Is he like just channeling Al Davis or what? Or did he die and Al Davis inhabited his body? Or is he just actually the same person and no one ever saw them both in the same room together?
Ooh,
is that what happened?
Yeah, maybe like that was his alter ego.
It's like his AFC team's NFC team.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah.
I'll just pretend to be this other Jerry Jones person when in reality it's always been the same guy.
It's like bizarro. Everybody has like a bizarro clone.
Because they had to be in the same room, so they had to kill Al Davis off.
Yeah. Yeah.
And stick with Jerry Jones because that's the more
problem. He's insane, and we just talked about this. He has no idea what's going on. He is not grounded in reality whatsoever. And he.
Sure.
What do they say the definition of insanity is? Doing the same thing and expecting a different result.
Expecting different results, yeah.
Yeah. He is that guy. And
yes,
he is. I mean, I'm fine with it because I hate the Cowboys, but if you're a legitimate Dallas fan, not these phony cockroaches that are. Dallas fans.
They have it coming.
Aren't from Texas and they liked them in the 90s because they had 70s. Irvin or the 70s with Staubach and all that. Those guys are phony.
Yeah, you know who else was on TV? Your home team.
Exactly. Come on now. For real. So, yeah, I if you're a legitimate Cowboys fan, I almost feel sorry for you.
Yeah, no, I do. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
We grew up in Dallas. We'd be Cowboys fans too, no doubt. So
yeah, and I would be.
I you know, the hatred I have towards their fan base is not the people that
should be legit
the front running losers.
Exactly.
The ones that also like the Yankees and the Lakers.
Yep.
If Yankees, Lakers, and Cowboys fans, then
Red Wings or maybe now Blackhawks.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Jeez, ugh, enough already.
Also, you're gonna be a Duke fan. Alabama, of course, too, and for college football.
But yeah, they specifically reporters asked Jerry Jones if he was going to fire himself, and he looked at that. He acted like that was the most absurd question one could ever ask. Like, what?
Unbelievable.
Are you kidding me?
Somehow he looks in the mirror and sees a great general manager.
Yeah, he thinks he's doing a fantastic job.
Hello,
McFly. Anyway, these guys. Are going to get flagged repeatedly, and they would they probably get it every week. If that wouldn't be redundant on our show. So there you go. There's a legal procedure, and
needed to be done, needed to be called out. Both of those two gentlemen.
Thank you very much, sir. And now it's time for a segment we haven't done in a while.
Crossfire. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, exactly. I love Crossfire. Also because it has an awesome intro song. So let's get into that.
It's the ultimate challenge. Crossfire.
Crossfire. You get caught up in the crossfire. 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 Crossfire.
You'll get caught up in it.
All right, sir. This week in Crossfire, we're going to do a little bit different. Now, the time allotment will be the same. Let's try to get them around 60 seconds per answer.
Okay.
However, I'm going to throw back-to-back questions at you. Three quick questions.
Three to me, and then I'll do three.
Exactly. You throw me the alley for the other three. And then we'll do some shout-outs and get out of here. So, you ready?
Wouldn't that be the oop? You throw me the alley, I throw you the oop?
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So, first question, sir. 60 seconds on the clock. Who do you got in the Super Bowl right now?
All right. So if I'm betting the house, I'm betting, you know, of course, it's difficult to know what the seedings and everything like that. But
you're putting a mortgage on, sir.
Hard to see someone winning in Seattle. Even though I think it could happen, I just can't bet on that. So I definitely have Seattle from the NFC. And, you know, I think if the Broncos don't win these next two, they're in trouble. But if they win the number – I think we could have both number one seeds You know, I might have said New England as much as I would have hated myself before they lost Gronk. But without Gronk, I don't see it.
Nah.
I don't see Cincinnati. I don't see any of those other teams. So I'm going to say Denver and Seattle. I think this year, for the first time, somebody said first time since like 1990-something. But, you know, the
really?
Eagles.
Really? It's been that long?
Or it was like one only happened once, and that was in 2009, the two number one seeds. When Indy and New Orleans met in 2009. But that's not true because the Eagles and the Patriots were both one seeds the year the Eagles went.
Ah,
two best
right.
teams in football. They were 14-2. We were 13-3.
That's right.
Really 13-1. We took the last 2 weeks off. But
yep.
So I think you're going to have a battle of the one seeds.
All right. Sounds good. And you are right at you're 70 seconds. Pretty close. All right. So if you were going to pick those two teams, who are your dark horse picks? Which is an awesome phrase, by the way.
That is an awesome phrase.
Isn't it like a dark horse?
It just sounds badass.
It really does.
Dark horse.
Exactly. Does a dark horse have a different sounding neigh?
Probably does. Like badass. Evil. Like the evil laugh. Something like that.
And is a dark horse like a horse that looks like a shadow, or is it just a dark, like a regular dark horse?
It could be either one, maybe.
Yeah. Maybe
I like the shadow thing. Maybe
nether horse.
Nether horse. Yeah, I like that. Absolutely. All right. So AFC dark horse. I'm going to say, believe it or not, it's just hard to pick a dark horse from the AFC. Am I really going to do that?
Are you going to go New England on me, bro?
No. Boy, I was thinking Kansas City, but then I'm thinking Andy Reid. Is he really going to get to the Super Bowl? No. You know what? I'm going to say Indy.
Yeah?
Look, you know, they look bad right now, but Baltimore looked bad at the end last year. They lost 4 out of 5. Luck is as good as anybody, really. And I think, you know, win that home game in the first round, get a favorable matchup against New England around 2 or Cincy, they could win that. And, you know, anything can happen. So that's my dark horse from the AFC. For the NFC, boy, a couple teams are coming to mind. And I don't think San Francisco is a dark horse because even though they're 5 seed, everyone pretty much thinks they're one of the 2 best teams. So if I can't pick San Francisco or Seattle, I'm going to say the Eagles.
There you go.
And maybe it's a homer pick, and I know it sounds crazy right now, but other than last week, our defense played great 9 weeks in a row. You know, we were assuming that it was just a hiccup on defense and we can get back to playing good defense. We were the most rounded team other than San Francisco and Seattle. If not the Eagles, then Carolina. Hey, I'm going with my heart there. I'm going to say Eagles. My head would say Carolina, but I'll pick the Eagles and the Colts.
I like that. Those are good dark horses, nether horses.
Especially the Colts. I mean, they are actually horses, too. So
there you go. Good call. All right. Last question for you, sir.
All right.
This fire segment. Does Mr. R.A.J., Ruben Amaro Jr., does he have any idea what he's doing?
He has no idea what he's doing. Absolutely not. He is the most incompetent general manager in the history of professional sports, all 4 major sports, because the information at the disposal of a general manager, the manpower working for him, the sheer amount of information, computerized information that is available, and the way he makes his decisions. He it's like he says, forget all that. What would I do if this was 1930? And just put the blinders on, pretend like it's 1930. Sort of the way Bud Selig has all the baseball games played as if it was 1930 and we didn't have video cameras.
Phil Simms and he would get along.
Yeah, exactly. It's just ridiculous he doesn't know what he's doing. Absolutely not. He took a great team with a bright future and just put it straight through the toilet. And he just every player on it gets a lifetime contract. You pay him for past performances. I'll say again, the Ryan Howard contract is one of the worst 3 contracts ever given out, simply because
for the Phillies or the history of sports.
I don't know. I mean, in baseball, probably in the history of baseball, because it's hard to compare different sports because of salary caps.
True.
Like that.
And then you know, football is obviously different.
Right, but you know, A-Rod's contract and maybe the fielder or the Pujols contract will end up being that bad also. But But the Ryan Howard one, you know, even those other contracts, they look good at the day they were signed. But
Zito was really bad. He ended up having another one this year.
At the time of the signing, it wasn't universally thought of as the worst ever. True. The day Howard signed, everyone thought that was the stupidest thing he could ever have done. And that is why, you know, things like that everyone knew at the time. It's not like, well, in hindsight, this really was bad. But everything he's done in foresight was stupid. And he's just off. So, no, he doesn't have a clue. I know I went over my time, but I cannot stand him. Horrible, horrible. And he has somehow not been fired. I just don't get it. I was saying this, by the way, in 2009 about Ruben Amaro Jr. I said it ahead of time because I knew what he was doing. He was killing the team. And same with Charlie Manuel. He's a bad manager. He can win with superior talent. But what did he do when we needed a manager to steal us some wins? He never got us any wins. He would either lose us the game or not affect it. He was bad at strategy. And you know, Ruben Amaro Jr., one of his worst moves was keeping Manuel around too late. Get a better strategist in there, we might win a World Series in 2010 and in 2011. You know, you don't have, just because the guy won the World Series doesn't mean he's good. He might have just had great players, which we did.
So, yeah, the Barry Switzer conundrum.
I could go on for about 20 minutes on that.
I'm sure you could. I'm sure you could.
Now for the oop. Number four. Do the Phillies have any chance in the next 2 years to make the playoffs?
Well, I will start that answer by saying they definitely don't have a chance to win the division. That is not going to happen. So then you got to talk about possibly getting a wild card. Who knows? And I don't see that happening.
If you had to put a number on it percentage-wise, what would you say?
A little PTI action,
about 2 different years. So if you thought 1%, per year, that'd be 2%.
Gotcha.
You
know? Okay, I like that action. I'm still gonna put it around 20%.
20%, really? Okay. Yeah. That's pretty. I might say 8 or 12. 12 maybe, but 20 is probably more fair. 10%. Yeah, 1 out of 10. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Yeah. Because things could all break right. I'll tell you one thing that could happen really quick before we move to the next question.
Okay.
That could get us. Bump that percentage way up. If they could get this Japanese guy, the 26-year-old Tanaka.
Right.
If you can get him and then you have three aces, that can hide a multitude of sins.
Right. Right.
So that would be the one chance if they can get this guy. And he's really good. You know, if he's Cliff Lee / Cole Hamels worthy or even the ace of the staff, then I don't see any other way out. But to throw more money at it. And it doesn't seem like they have anymore, but, you know.
Yeah, they would have to.
I love how Ruben always says, I should be able to win with a payroll of $165 to $170 million. Yeah, you should.
You should.
You can't. You should. Yeah, you should be able to win with that much payroll, but you can't. Not with money.
I was going
to
say, if this wasn't Amaro as the GM, they have enough pieces that they could move things around and maybe, you know, make a run at it, but
they need to bottom out for a couple of years. But
yeah, you know, I can't see him doing it.
Yeah, if you got like a super genius in here and he just made all these, you know, just had the Midas touch and made all these crazy great moves. But
yeah.
All right, no, next question. Let's talk some Sixers at the end here.
Hoops.
MBW. Is he for real?
I think he is. I think his game is built for the NBA. I know that there are GMs that are just kicking themselves. They're kicking themselves that they let him slip to what, 11? 9?
11.
11, yeah. He looks really solid. And as a matter of fact, just as a sidebar, I don't really think he's injured.
I think they are
nursing that injury knowing that they're too good with him on the court.
Yep.
Because they were winning a bunch of games with him out there, and he created matchup problems. He was leading the league in steals. I don't know. He might still be. Probably not at this point because he's been
first
out for like
game,
7 games.
He had almost the quadruple double. Ridiculous.
Yeah, he puts up really good stats. He gets to the basket. He distributes well. His jumper has been better than people anticipated. I mean, it's not it's not refined at all, but.
No, he'll work hard. He'll get better.
Exactly. He'll get better. I'm excited for the Sixers' future. with him there, and then with
very excited.
Yeah,
two first round picks is not. And the guy from New Orleans got hurt for what, 2 months?
Yep.
And that's gonna kill their chance of getting into the playoffs. And that brutal. You look at the two conferences. It's just unbelievable. Nobody. There's two teams in the East with a positive point differential, and there's only like one team in the West without one. It's like unreal.
Crazy. Yeah. The NBA needs to realign or just figure out how they do seedings or something like that differently.
If we can get, you know, number one and number 8, 9, 10, oof, in that draft, with the nucleus we have and the cap space, sky is the limit.
Yep.
We could be dynasty. I mean, it's possible. You get a Hall of Famer and an All-Star in the draft next year on top of what we have. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And I don't even know if maybe because Noel was going to be the number one pick in the draft. He didn't get hurt. We're going to
absolutely him.
He'll be there next year.
Yeah. Yeah.
So possibly adding two All-Stars and a Hall of Famer by the time next season rolls around. And they're all going to grow together.
Yep.
And guess what? This is a big market.
Yep.
You know, once we start winning, it's going to be an attractive one.
True. And the point guard is sometimes the hardest piece to get.
Yep. Absolutely.
And if you got a really good point guard, people want to play with that guy.
I'll tell you what. You trade Holiday. You wouldn't trade MCW's trade it for Holiday right now.
Probably
no
not.
No way.
No, the ceiling's
and
higher.
We got a number one pick from them next year for that in the deepest draft ever. What a steal.
Yep.
You can put that to bed whether that was a good deal or not.
Great
trade. I'm incredibly excited for the Sixers. I absolutely think they can win a championship with the players and with management in place, and you know, obviously we need to get one of the top four picks, if we have the worst record, we're guaranteed at worst number four, so that'd be solving it right there. All right, last one. What would you say about the big four NBA prospect? Rank them in order. Go from number four to number one.
Number four to number one. I would probably say. That's tough. Three and four are tough. You might say that you can flip-flop these if you like. Marcus Smart or Julius Randle.
What positions do they play, those two?
Marcus Smart is kind of a combo guard. In the NBA, he'll probably be a point. He's 6'4". Plays a lot of two, I think, in college.
So he could be a two for us if we picked him?
He could be a two.
But
I think he's
likely.
More naturally a point guard.
So he's one we probably don't want that.
Yeah, exactly. We probably don't go there.
Okay, that's smart. So that would be fourth on our list then.
Yes.
Okay, and who's three?
Julius Randle is a power forward, and he is a natural power forward.
And then Noel, it would be our center, right?
Exactly.
He's a center? Okay.
Yeah, he's absolutely a center.
Okay.
But Randle is 6'9", 250. He's got an NBA body now.
He's a beast, right? I mean,
yeah.
He's a sure thing, right?
Yeah,
right. Any
he
of
absolutely
these four
is.
Are, right?
Yep. Okay. Yeah, all these four guys are. And then number one and number two, people are projecting Jabari Parker to go number one.
Really? Because I heard Wiggins for so long.
Yeah.
Now they're talking Parker,
but
huh?
Parker has just been killing it at Duke. He's probably going to break the Duke record of, like, most games in a row you scored – or most games in a season you scored 20 points or most games in a row.
Okay.
One of those.
Okay. Now, what positions is Parker and – And
Parker is a little like a Carmelo Anthony clone, except he
can play three
defense. Yeah, he's a small forward.
Okay.
And Wiggins is like a 3-4 as well. The difference between their games is that Wiggins is more of a physical specimen. Like his physical
sort of like the other guy that you pick number three, right?
They really are. You know, you obviously want to watch when you're making comparisons, but they really are comparable to LeBron and Carmelo.
Okay.
That's what Parker's game looks like.
You know, could Wiggins play the four?
No, Wiggins is definitely a two or a three.
A two or a three, but which one is would he be more naturally?
He's probably more naturally a two. He's 6'8", but he moves. He can definitely move.
Nice length, defense.
Yeah, exactly.
Defender.
Exactly, yeah. The comparisons he gets are like, you know, like the low is Scottie Pippen, the high is, you know, like LeBron James liked.
Wow. And Parker, who does he compare to?
Like I was saying, he compares to Carmelo Anthony. That's what everybody says his game.
Either
like
one of those guys.
And it's just
I prefer
really
not to get a three because isn't Thad Young our three? Or Thad Young can play the four too, though.
Yeah, he can play the four.
I mean, you don't they know whoever you think is the best player, obviously. But you know, if you could, if the best player happens to fill in at two or four, boy, that'd be nice.
Yeah, exactly.
When we're drafting,
it would be fantastic to have a two. Because
there's just not any twos in the league.
Yeah, there aren't that many. There's like the third or fourth best two guard is Aaron Afalo. It's like James Harden, Kobe. Yeah, there's not that many
good anymore. I'm not even sure.
Yeah,
he can come back from us at his age, but yeah, it's Parker and then what? Wade.
Yeah, like Wade.
I mean, after number one in two guards is a huge drop off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay, if Wade's healthy, fine, but that's a real iffy thing. And certainly after, you know, and again, if Kobe can come back, there's two big ifs after him, after Harden. And after that, it's just off the cliff.
Yeah.
You know, so just, you know, I always look at it like if you've got James Harden, you're whatever, however many points better than their two. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
At that position, it's like having a second baseman when Utley was hitting 30 home runs. The other, you know, the opposing second baseman hit 8 against us. So that's 22 extra home runs we're getting from our second baseman. You know, Ryan Howard would hit 50 and their home first baseman would hit 37 opposing ones against us. So that's a plus 30. You know what I mean? That positional scarcity makes you even more valuable. So
I'm going to go. Joe Johnson's decent.
Yeah. All right. That's true.
You just Paul George, I guess he's probably more like a three than a two.
Yeah. I thought he was a three. Well, yeah. Paul George is a two, then he's definitely, but I thought he was a three.
Yeah, I think he's
I'm going to go with a seventh question, a bonus question.
All right, for you guys. Bonus question.
Bonus question is, who are you more excited about, the Eagles or the Sixers, as far as the next 5 years?
Ooh, that's a great bonus question. Oh, man.
Or the Phillies. No.
Nope. Fail. Hashtag not Phillies. I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Or as I've been saying this on Twitter, honey bunches of no.
Yes.
It's hard, man. I don't know if I can answer that. I love hoops, and the Sixers have been terrible. But I love Chip Kelly, and I love the Eagles. Yeah. Both of those teams, I think, can get to the show.
We might have a four years championship in the next 5 years.
I think that the teams are managed really. I mean, if you have to be good from the top down. You have
and
to.
They are, and they have the general manager and the coach, both of them.
I really like the Sixers coach too.
They run intelligently both ways. I would answer the Eagles only because I like the NFL more than the NBA. Because it's just the NFL is so great. But taking that out, and I'm it's equal. It's a 50-50.
Yeah. All right, sir. Let's do some shout outs and call it a podcast. Let's wrap this thing up like a Christmas present.
Put a bow on it.
Shout out to everybody in the hood. Shout out to everybody smoking that good. Shout out to everybody in the club. Everybody getting live from the geeks to the thugs.
Exactly.
Shout out our friend Alex on the mic on Twitter at Alex on the mic. All one word, MIC at the end. She's a DJ who's now just got a new job in LA. So everybody. Follow her. She's a big Philly sports fan. She really knows her stuff, and congratulate her on her new job.
Congrats. Congrats on that.
Congratulations. She's a hard worker, you can tell, and good for her.
Hey, get us a job on radio. You got connections.
We're rooting for her. We're rooting for her.
Good stuff. I got a couple of quick shout-outs. First, all these people, obviously, on Twitter, you should follow them. At Coatesvillain. It's kind of spelled like the town, Coatesville, C-O-A-T-E-S. V-I-L-L-I-A-N. I think his first name's Tim. He's also boys with my friend Jamil, who I will also, I didn't plan to shout him out, but check out Jamil. He's at Small Pro. He actually produced the official review theme. I think I've told you guys.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
A pro.
Yeah, and he's got a couple new projects coming out. So check him out on Twitter and then go buy his albums. Also, our boy Ven at Attila, A-T-T-I-L-A, huge Philly sports dude. He always follows us.
Is he a hun?
Yeah, he probably is a hun.
Oh, he is a hun.
His mom calls him a hun. Also, Tara at...
The hun?
Exactly. That makes you never mind.
So I'm distracting you.
I was
Tara, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, Tara, on, Tara at T Elise. I was gonna say it reminds me of Mulan, but then people will think that I watch Disney movies regularly.
Yeah, I like Disney movies.
I do.
I like anime, Disney. You know, I like Pixar. Those are the ones.
Those
I like
are good
better.
Too. Yeah, those are good too. So yeah, T Elise. T_ELYSE Tara, she's another big Philly fan, Eagles fan. She follows us. And lastly, 215 Lex. That's Alexis. Another follower who's been with us for a long time. See you, everybody.
Hey, we appreciate everyone following us. Thanks for listening to the show.
Always appreciate
the
support.
We love you guys. And we will see you next time.
That's right. And if it happens to be the you know, Christmas or whatever you Kwanzaa, or Hanukkah, whatever you celebrate, hope you guys have a nice holiday.
Yep, absolutely. Merry Christmas.
And we will talk to you soon. You guys take it easy. Peace.
Yeah. Let me show you how it's done. In the North Pole, the North Pole of Georgia, that is. My name is Santa.
Yeah.
I'm from Atlanta.
Yeah.
Used to be white.
Yeah.
Now I'm a little bit tanner.
Okay.
Like darker.
Yeah.
Miss Santa love chocolate.
Yeah.
But the light busts out in the front of my sleigh. I'm walking.
My name is Rudolph.
Yeah.
My nose is red.
Yeah.
I got my haters.
Yeah.
But I get my bread.
Okay.
Them other reindeer.
Yeah.
Was like, yo, he lame.
Yeah.
With his old stupid nigga red nose.
Hey.
Miss Santa came.
Santa came.
He was like,
Rudolph, my ninja. I've been watching you for a minute. The headlights on my sleigh are dusty.
Word.
Can you help me with it?
I was like, Santa,
what?
I got you.
All right.
Anything for you, dog. I know how it is out there in the sky trying to fly with all that fog.
Uh-huh.
But I got one request.
What's that?
I'ma need some cash.
Mm.
I'ma need a woman
what?
With a whole lot of presents.
Done.
Santa slipped me my...